BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/sixmusic.
And now, Adam and Joe.
This is a message from the big British castle, coming live from the Glastonbury Festival. We're inside a special area with great big walls, so the weirdos and the hoolies can't get through to go to the loo.
This is Adam and Joe here at Glastonbury live. We're standing right by the pyramid stage in the mud and the slurry. It's very exciting. And how are you doing, Joe?
I'm doing very well. Something strange has happened, listeners.
What's happened?
Well, we sent out a call on last week's show for any listeners who were here at Glastonbury to join us outside the left gate, outside the pyramid stage at 10 a.m. We are now outside the left gate at the pyramid stage at 10 a.m. And yeah, lo and behold, there's 60 million Black Squadron members.
Hey! Look at that. That's the sound of the squadron.
Now, that's real. I mean, that's not just a sound effect we loaded up. That was... Sorry, my stomach's having a few problems. Had a kebab.
The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you right now that we're right by the pyramid stage, and that sound, the strange sound you can hear there, is David Bowie's spaceship landing. He's just come down to Earth. He's been talking to some Dolphinusians. Oh, where's, and he's now joined us in the mud. We've asked him to keep it down. Obviously, it's a little disruptive, but the pyramid stage sound guys are on board. I had a little fight with one of them yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, a little ruck. I pushed him in the mud and...
Did you?
You know, we were rolling around a little bit. I teased him and he teased me back. And
I'm going to be disappointed if this is a lie.
It is a little bit of a lie.
I'm disappointed.
Sorry, mate.
Hello, Black Squadron, again. Hello.
Hello!
Thank you very much, everybody, for turning out.
Yeah,
some of you have even printed out your Taffin masks. We put some pictures of Pierce Brosnan on the blog, and some people have cut them out and are wearing them. Should we talk to this? Why don't we take this gentleman's coming forward? Ooh, hello, sir. What's your name?
My name's Ian.
Ian, and you're holding your Taffin mask. You're not wearing it. Why?
Yeah, it was all a bit of a last-minute rush on Tuesday evening. Print it off at work, take it home, cut it out.
How would you feel if, as punishment, the rest of the Black Squadron tore you to shreds?
Maybe a little harsh, but understandable.
Well, you know what Black Squadron's like. It is harsh. We're tough. It's tougher than the SAS.
Well, but we should stand the squadron to attention with the jingle, shouldn't we?
Black Squadron!
Oh, it's catching the beginning of the show. Black Squadron don't want us to think. That's not the way Black Squadron roll. Went to bed at a reasonable hour. Got me sharp on Saturday morning. That's the secret of the Squadron's power.
Black Squadron!
There you go, live Black Squadroning here. The Squadron is standing to attention. They are fully erect and looking very good. Not too muddy at all, actually, considering we are in an absolute mud slurry deluge situation after a day of heavy rain yesterday here at the festival. But they're looking good, and a few Taffin masks here. David, is there any way you could turn off your spaceship just for this?
This is the most sinister of all Taffin masks.
What's your name, sir?
Pete.
Hey, Pete. Describe, Joe, what Pete has done with his mask.
Well, he's sort of cut the eyes out in a terrifying Sackboy way, as if he'd actually ripped the flesh off Pierce Brosnan's face.
It looks exactly like the bit in Silence of the Lambs where Anthony Hopkins stuffs up a security guard, then removes his face as a disguise.
Say, put the lotion in the basket.
Put the lotion in the basket.
Put the lotion in the basket!
Very good.
Oh, wait, was she a great big fat person?
So before we take our leave of the squadron and go back to our porter cabin, we have some Taffin business that we need to deal with, don't we, guys? So who has now seen the film Taffin and enjoyed it thoroughly?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Sort of eight people.
Eight slightly insane people. But what we're going to do is recreate for you that pivotal scene right now. So are you going to be Bronholm?
No, I'm not going to be Bronholm.
Okay, I'm going to be Bronholm. And
yes, this is perfect Taffin music. This is the music Taffin likes to make love to.
Rob is here. He's a squadron member, and he's going to be the lady in the Taffin scene. Hey, Rob, how are you doing?
I'm very well indeed, thank you.
And you know your lines?
I know some of them, yes.
Squadron, are you ready?
Yeah!
Here we go for some live Taffin action. And the scene begins with Bronholm sat in the sofa saying, "What goes on in this town is none of your business.
Well, as long as I'm living here, it is my business.
Thank you very much,
incredible.
Black Squadron, live at Glastonbury 2011.
Black Squadron, we salute you. Thank you for coming, and thank you for listening, and thank you for being amazing.
I'm having a lovely time at the festival, though I can't remember where I put my tent. I've been walking round and round, but my tent cannot be found, and I've lost my keys and wallet and my friends. This is fun.
Hey, we're at the press tent. It's right in the middle of the festival, and we've just been issued with the list of questions that absolutely every journalist or media person has to use when conducting interviews or chatting to anyone about the festival at all.
As everybody knows, the Glastonbury Festival started out as a free-for-all, and now it's a rigorously controlled environment. Every element prescribed by higher forces, including questions and answers asked both by journalists to celebrities and asked between friends.
So let's see how we deal with these. We're just going to ask each other a few of these. Joe, tent or teepee?
Tent or teepee? I love that question.
Yeah.
I would go for a teepee tent.
Uh-huh.
It's a combination of a tent and a teepee. It's the worst of both things. Mm. It's drafty and flimsy, difficult to erect.
I would go for a peepee tent, which is just a tiny tent that you have around your Netherlands. And it's somewhere where you can just whistle while you work, which is a fun song that was in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, if you remember. It's good because you might be in the middle of a big crowd and you don't want to go and find the nearest lavatory. You can use your peepee tent.
I'm going to ask you one of these standard questions now, Adam. What was your first Glastonbury memory?
That's a great question, man.
Thanks.
I guess my first memory would have been shortly after I was born. I don't know if you know, but I was birthed on the Glastonbury tour by friendly wizards and a couple of tall Venusians who were passing through. My mother was the Earth. Don't know if you know her. She's very nice, but she's a bit beaten up now. My father was the Sun. So I suppose my first memory really was Michael Eavis coming over to me and asking me if I wanted to work on the farm. To which I said, yes, I'd love to, and I've been here ever since. How about you?
I think you have false memory syndrome.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to skip that question.
Are you? You can't skip the questions.
Well, I have to, because you're going to ask me this next question.
All right, mate. Here you go. Here's one for you. Oh, this is a great one. I love this question.
Okay.
Who are you most looking forward to seeing? Sorry, I just fell asleep. I'm awake now. I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine.
That's a good question. Well, there's various approaches to that question.
Yeah.
I mean, approach A is I just name one of the headline acts.
Sure.
That's the way to get
go
in.
Go on, do it now.
Beyonce.
Oh, brilliant. That's a good answer.
Or, if I want to give myself a little more credibility,
yeah,
I might name somebody from one of the lesser stages that no one's heard of, like the Barboobity Bi-Eyes,
yeah,
who will be playing their points of view set on the Crapola stage.
Over and over again. Play Barboobity Bi-Eye!
And approach C would be to say something absurd, like the Ordinary Boys.
Right. Here's who I'm most looking forward to seeing. One of the Wombles. Maybe either one of the Wombats or one of the Wombles. Probably I would love to see a Womble.
Which Womble would you be most excited by?
Who do you think?
Shalay.
Obviously Shalay.
Shalay. She's the sexy one.
Yeah.
A big sexy rat in a pinny. What man couldn't resist a big lady rat? She's got 20 breasts.
The rat in the pinny.
Yeah, that's why she
really
wears the pinny, to conceal them. They're in a line down the centre of her.
Can you imagine? That would be a good photo, though, wouldn't it? Backstage before the Wombles go on, with all the Wombles gathered
around.
Suckling
on Madame Cholet.
Suckling with Madame Cholet.
It's going to happen.
Wow. I would love to get into that little huddle. The rumours are flying around the site about all kinds of special guests. What I'm most looking forward to is maybe one of the Wombles tearing off their big foamy heads and there being someone exciting and celebrity-based underneath there. I mean, I heard Lauren talking about the idea that maybe Florence from Florence and the Machine was going to be under one of the rat hoods.
I heard another rumour. I heard that Uncle Bulgaria was going to pull off his own head,
yeah,
which will be traumatic for the audience to begin with, to reveal Florence.
Yeah.
And then 5 to 10 minutes later, after Florence has sung the things that she sings,
yep.
she would then pull her head off.
Whoa.
To reveal
Rolf.
Nothing inside. She's actually pulled her head off.
Oh, yeah. So it's just blood.
It's just horrific. It's That's just horrific. Horrific.
That's absolutely horrific.
But it's very memorable.
Well, a more fun thing, obviously, would be is if she pulled her head off and Roffle Harris was under there.
Yes, that would be more memorable.
It's Roffle Harris! Oh, mate! And then he'd get out his wobble board and everyone would be happy and the sun would come out. Maybe that's why it's a bit rainy, because Roffle isn't here this year.
There we are. Those are the standard Glastonbury questions. And if you're at the festival, be sure you've got your answers ready, because they are the only questions that are allowed to be asked.
Correct.
Health and safety. I've got a little yellow coat on. Don't do nothing stupid, or you'll be ejected.
Hello, listeners. We are here backstage at the other stage, and we are very excited to be joined by Mr. Robin Pecknold, the lead singer of the Fleet Foxes. Hello, Robin.
How's it going, man?
It's going well. We're very excited to meet you. We play your music a lot on our show. We're huge fans. And we should start with a serious topic.
Okay.
Because we feel responsible for a certain amount of verbal vandalism that has happened at your shows for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and I'm of course talking to you about the Stephen phenomenon. Yeah. Can I call it a phenomenon? Is that self-aggrandizing?
It's an absolutely massive phenomenon that swept the world. 3 years ago, it started as a kind of call and response on our program. You could shout Stephen to anyone in the street, and if they said, just coming, then you would know that they were fans of this program, of the Adam and Joe program on Six Music.
Mm-hmm.
But then it started getting shouted out at gigs, and I think the first time I was aware of that happening was Fleet Foxes fans texting us and saying,
yeah,
hey, there was a bit of Stevenage at the gig the other day, maybe at the Roundhouse 3 years ago.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, totally.
So were you aware of that happening? And were you? Is that a little confusing, first of all, when people start shouting things that you don't quite understand in the audience? Maybe you think that they're heckling you in some way?
Well, the first time it happened, I was just, it just sounded like somebody was looking for Steven.
Yeah.
And then subsequently, yeah, it was obviously like some form of meme that we weren't like totally aware of.
You weren't privy to.
Yeah. A couple times. But it also sounds a little bit like Freebird, so.
Freebird!
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you ever play that?
No.
Okay.
No.
We should apologize though, Robin. We're sorry. We're sorry on behalf of our listeners. We're sorry. I mean, we're 50% sorry. Well, let's say 51 or 2% sorry and 48 or 9% excited,
yeah,
that we've somehow... We're like sort of...
infiltrated.
Yeah, petulant children throwing rocks at an adult, you know? We just wanted to have some effect. We're excited that we've had some sort of impact on a band we love.
It's better than indiscriminate shouting, you know, of any variety. And it happens to me on the street now, too. Just like, Steven!
No.
No.
Thank God for that. No, but I do feel a sense of responsibility, and part of me feels ashamed for the behavior of our listeners. Some of me feels ashamed for our show in general, but...
Well, it's good because, like, because if there's, like... Because we'll tune a little bit between songs sometimes, like, so the wheels aren't totally greased at our shows all the time. So I think, like, that stage silence makes people nervous, and then they want to say something. So it's better to have it fall back on the Steven thing than have it be like, you guys suck, or like,
yeah,
you know.
We're launching the You Guys Suck meme next year, so you can look forward to that.
Yeah.
I am absolutely unequivocally delighted that we've invaded your mind space. I do think, though, that Stevenage is probably quite respectful. I bet they don't ruin the quiet parts of your songs with it, though, do they?
No. No, that would be insane.
Yeah, good. Well, yeah, I'm absolutely happy about it, and thanks for being so nice about it.
Would you like, Robin, would you like it to stop?
No.
Really? Because we can stop it.
Oh, you can?
We can.
You have control.
We think we can. Our listeners are very good people.
Do you think it's universally your listeners, or has it passed into a...
I think it's universally our listeners.
Yeah. Okay.
It's localized.
Well, that's good to know, you know, because then it's like...
It's not going to get out of hand.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if it gets out of hand, just let us know and we'll stop it.
We
can have listeners punished. You know, the BBC mm-hmm. is a national organization. We can have listeners imprisoned.
Yeah.
So just let us know if that would help.
Yeah. Also, we can send out a very high frequency on the radio show, which shuts that part of their brain down completely. Okay. They don't realize that yet, but we have that power, cool. So it's all doable.
Sweet.
Glastonbury, 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 Glastonbury.
Adam and Joe and Six Music, jamming and playing new music from
Glastonbury, 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 Glastonbury.
So, Robin, let's talk a little bit about where we are right now. We're in what appears to be a kind of exhibition conference centre that they've erected behind the other stage here at Glastonbury. Yeah. Is this typical of the kind of backstage area that you find at festivals?
Yes. It's very just sort of a something that's been constructed in the last 48 hours.
It's very much like one of the offices from the film Brazil.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Is that what the rock world is like now, do you think? Or do you ever find yourself backstage in places that are bedecked with Indian, wall hangings and...
Well, at Primavera Festival, it was the same kind of thing, but it was like these beautiful Spanish hardwood floors, you know, like reclaimed wood or something.
Yeah.
So that was different. But it's never like a pleasure dome.
Right. You know. And also, you know, it seems particularly incongruous for you, a member of the Fleet Foxes, who for many people live in their imagination as sort of mountain men.
Sure.
Snowed in, 365 days of the year, their beards intertwined.
Yeah.
As they harmonize with each other around the log fire, cooking up, catfish on a skillet.
But now you're just reading from our bio.
And is that a world that is in any way reflective of how you grew up at all, or is it a complete world of mythology that you spun?
I feel like obviously, like, there's, like, an element of our appearance implies something, you know. But aside from, like, some lyrical content, obviously that's, like, you know, naturalistic, a lot of it to me is just, like, personal stories. I mean, obviously, we didn't grow up together, and, I mean, Sky and I grew up together, but, you know, we weren't, like, raised by wolves or anything. But I don't necessarily think the music is... I think there's, like, enough other content, like, personal content there that, especially on this one, like, I feel like all of it is just, like, my own thoughts on stuff, and it's not, like, you know, necessarily trying to present something... You know, other than that,
very little of it deals with actually catching beavers and muskrats.
Yeah, only 25% is.
Yeah,
for the muskrat fans.
And do you think there will ever come a time where you experiment with a radically different lyrical palette? I've got some very exciting ideas for how you could reach a whole new audience with the same kind of lovely tunes and your beautiful harmonizing.
Yeah, Stephen.
A little bit of you can have some Stephenage in there. But I've got some great ideas.
Adam's just unfolding his piece of paper. And Robin, I should preface this by saying Adam's a sensitive man.
Okay.
And he's been
I need to be receptive.
He's been working on this for a while. So please treat him gently. Any flippancy is not, it's very gentle. He's very gentle. I don't know what I'm saying. I'm just filling. Here we go.
Good filling, Phil.
We wondered what would happen if you put lots of modern references into the Fleet Foxes material, so the under-15s
totally
connected, you know what I mean? Because this is what it's all about now. Chris Brown,
text me back something
Lady
freaky.
Gaga, yes. Lyrics that can be, exactly, put in texts.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more acronyms.
Okay.
Okay, here we go. I've got an amazing singing voice, by the way. What might happen is you might hear me singing this and get quite intimidated, and your confidence will be shaken a little
we'll
bit. Because you'll realize there's someone out there who can do this a little bit better than I can, and he's also got a beard, and maybe I'm a bit of a fraud. So don't worry if you feel that, all right, man? So this is a slightly more modern version of He Doesn't Know Why. Will you be playing that song tonight?
No. Maybe.
You may want to after you hear this.
Okay.
I was writing tweets on my iPad too when I saw I got a new text message from you. Have you heard the new Lady Gaga tune? Gonna Spotify it later. OMG, I can't believe this amazing app. It takes everything you say and turns it into rap. I really love my new DS, but the 3D's crap. I play it on my skateboard.
and then you do the beautiful modern harmonic woobling after that. Yeah?
Yeah.
Is that working?
I don't, does anyone write songs like that?
Of course
they do. Have you ever heard
a
song like that?
Of all the rapping young rappers do.
All the young rappers do?
The young rapping rappers do.
I don't think I've ever heard a song.
Of course.
Even the newest Lady Gaga song. Or the newest Justin Bieber, I don't think.
Justin Bieber, maybe
that,
not, but he's disconnected from the real world.
Is that focused on consumer electronics?
Yeah. But it's a gap in the market.
True.
We should listen. If you do decide to do that song, Robin, we'd like to give you these lyrics.
Yeah. Okay.
And, you know, in no way are we expecting you to sing them.
No. No.
Because he's intimidated, you see, because
yeah.
I sung it too well. Well, I think we're going to let you go now.
Okay.
Now that we've tortured you enough. Yeah. Do we have anything else we need to ask?
No, nothing else to say. Just that we love you and your music, and thank you for talking to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, on behalf of everyone who listens to our show, thanks for being so lovely about the Stevenage.
Oh, it's just part of... part of the fabric of our lives.
Well, we apologize for that stinky bit of fabric. Yeah. But thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, totally.
Have a good show tonight,
Thank
man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Take care.
Prepare the factual generator.
I can't think it's working now.
Now give me Glastonbury facts.
Oh, now it's broken again.
So it is a little bit damaged, the factual generator.
Hmm. Okay.
But let's see how we get on. Did you know, and these are facts about some of the members of Coldplay, particularly Chris and Gwyneth. I don't know if you know, but Gwyneth writes all the songs.
Mm-hmm.
First interesting fact there, that's by the by. Chris and Gwyneth are both extremely health-conscious individuals, and they follow a strict diet that was specially created for them by Gennaro Contaldo. He's one of the two greedy Italians. Breakfast for the family consists of dried plankton on a bed of Wotsits, followed by a bowl of flaked bark with rainwater and a glass of bezique. To wash it all down. For lunch, the couple enjoy the dreams of X Factor contestants. And the reason they love those is because they're very low in fat. And then for supper, it's a lolly biff.
Oh, a lolly biff. Hey. Oh, a lot of lolly biff.
What was the first one again?
Breakfast. Well, it's what I had this morning, what we had at the
plankton
hotel.
Plankton on Wotsits.
Dried plankton on a bed of Wotsits.
Well, are the Wotsits healthy?
Yeah, they crush them.
They crush them.
So they're easier to digest.
They're very absorbent, so they soak up all the bad bacteria.
Also, sometimes, depending on your digestive system, they repeat on you, so you can have them for later.
Gets rid of the bad air.
Exactly. Did you know that bass player of Coldplay, Guy Berryman, is made almost entirely... What do you mean? Oh.
No, I'm excited. I'm excited about the next thing.
Of berries.
Berries.
He's either made of berries or botanical berries. His head is a watermelon. His eyes are gooseberries. His cheeks are strawberries. His skin is mashed pumpkin, which is also a botanical berry, did you know? And his julies are made from tomatoes and a banana.
Our julies are made from tomatoes and a banana. He must have to work very hard in the morning to put on the makeup. It's a bit like Michael Jackson, who had a hole in his nose. He had to put a plaster on and pour foundation over it. But that guy has to start out with a face that's an arrangement of tropical fruits.
Listen, they have to pack the guy in ice whenever they travel
Do
anywhere.
They?
Sure, because they don't want him to go all mouldery.
Wow.
Chris and Gwyneth, did you know? So I'm still drunk on power, have recently been looking for a nanny to take care of their children, Apple Cheeks, Mentos, and Fizzwiz. The nanny would be paid over £65 a week. I mean, that's grotesque, isn't it? Imagine making that kind of money for a nanny. They have specified, though, that the applicants must have presented T4, must have read and loved the Da Vinci Code, and must have the ability to discreetly turn paparazzi into a delicious low-fat dip. Also, they must have fought in some kind of fashion war.
Yes.
On the winning side. Final Glastonbury fact about Coldplay. Did you know Chris Martin? I'm sure you did know this. Mm. He is a vocal activist and a supporter of a number of worthy causes, including the campaign to stop raisins from sinking in cereal boxes, to keep them buoyant
Content
throughout
settling.
The whole... Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't want to get to the bottom of the raisin-based cereal
That's
and
disgusting.
Find a glut of raisins there. That's grotesque. He's also very much involved with the campaign to keep Grazia Brilliant, or KGB.
Uh-huh.
as an acronym. So he has
that's just pushing for more exclamation marks.
Yeah, loads of more features about either Gwyneth or Jennifer Aniston,
and a more ornate font and a heavier paper stock, a glossier paper stock.
Yeah. KGB, keep Grazia brilliant. He's got it written on his thighs, I think. And also he's involved very much with the campaign to minimise his own airborne toxic events, MATE, or MATE.
MATE.
Because in the past, Martin's events have caused a great deal of unrest and happiness.
Yes.
And unhappiness.
They had to ground transatlantic flights, didn't they?
That's right. There was a toxic cloud last year, if you remember, that caused a lot of problems for holidaymakers.
Queues at airports.
Yeah.
The stench.
So anyway, he's obviously gutted about that, and he's battling to stop it ever happening again. That's Glastonbury Facts for today.
I love that jingle. That's such a good jingle. When did you record that jingle?
Oh, man. We went into Maid of Ale to record it last week.
Great.
An orchestra.
Great.
Cost a lot of money.
Glastonbury Memories.
I'll never forget Mandy Lampshade in 2003. She came on stage wearing an actual lampshade on her head. And the crowd were like, what is she wearing on her head? It's a lampshade. And Mandy was like, yeah, it is. So deal with that.
Nelson Pumpkin and the Bouncy Boys in 1976 is something I'll never forget. Nelson had just come out of prison and he was absolutely furious.
The Bouncy Boys played a set that day that was just rubbish.
Keith Harris and Orville last year on the Pyramid Stage.
That was a good show.
They played really well. Cuddles came out, sang a couple of numbers, made Keith cry. Keith got angry and left.
Cuddles beat up Orville.
Orville died, of course, that day, and it was a great show.
Glastonbury Memories.
I'm going to play you a sound.
Yeah.
Adam, Count Buckley's Buxton, and listeners, you can join in as well. You have to tell me what you think the sound is. It's as simple as that.
And are these typical sounds from the festival, or are they very odd sounds that you've got?
Very typical sounds. Very, very typical. Here is sound, mystery Glastonbury sound number one. Right. What's that sound? Tell me what's happening. What's that sound? Tell
is
me what's happening.
Is that someone inflating their codpiece?
That is not
with a small
the members of Cameo. No,
pump.
and that is not that is not Bonio from U2 trying to pump up his ancient Butox to give them some youthful bubbliciousness. There it is again. What's that sound? Tell me what's happening. What's that sound? Tell me. Now that sound is commonly heard all over the site.
Is it someone trying to extract their boots from a mud clump and the air sucking
No.
Can I have one more listen?
Sure, this is going to take a while, though, because we do have five.
It sounds like a bicycle pump.
Hand sanitizer. It's all over the site.
I absolutely love hand sanitizer.
You do. You use it all the time, yet you don't recognize the sound. What does that say about you?
I don't know.
Absolutely nothing.
I'm very shallow.
Okay, number two. Sound number two. Ready for sound number two, Buckley's?
Yeah.
So no points so far. Here is Glastonbury sound number two.
Make sure you screw it on properly. Make sure it's tight, nice and tight. Doing another event like Glastonbury 2008.
What is that sound? Is that the sexual health counsellor down in the healing field
after that pregnancy?
Yeah, can we have
in
one 2008? More? One more listen.
Make sure you screw it on properly. Make sure it's tight, nice and tight. Doing another event like Glastonbury 2008.
That's the key sound, the snapping, the plastic snap at the end.
Oh, I know what that is.
What is it?
That's one of the great guys in their Viz jackets putting the band, that your entry band.
No.
What?
Wrong.
What is it then?
Wrong.
You're delighted.
Wrong.
It's wrong
about.
O'clock. That is one of the poo pipe men.
The poo pipe men.
That go around with the big trucks and they suck all the stuff out of the bogs.
Right.
And they put them in their lorries and take it away to bogland.
Petey and Paul poo pipe.
Petey and Paul poo pipe. And of course, the great incident in 2008 was when they connected it up wrong and sprayed it all over everybody.
Oh, did that really happen?
It really happened. Possibly not in 2008.
Like Father Ted.
We guessed that.
Oh, my
there
goodness.
We go. Okay, so two down. Not doing very well, Count Buckley's.
No.
You shouldn't sleep in the hotel. You should try and see the festival a bit more.
Can I just...
Like me.
Here we go. Can I just say that I'm rediscovering fun?
You are, aren't you?
This is
what it's
fun.
Like to be young. Number three. Okay, here we go. What is this sound? Sound number three.
Mummy, Daddy, Wu-Tang Clan weren't rude enough for me. I want my money back. Why didn't they swear more?
That is the sound of a nice middle-class person's young child who they've dragged along to the festival to instill naughtiness into the child, and the child is absolutely up in arms because everything's a little bit sanitized.
That's correct. The child was disappointed at the of not enough swearing and crudity at the during the Wu-Tang set.
Yeah.
Wu-Tang.
Were you similarly disappointed?
I was very disappointed, yeah. Well, I watched it on telly in the hotel. and they dipped the swearing down. Yeah. But that was a young chap called Zeke.
So I got one right, yes!
Yeah, you did get one right. Zeke is the brother of Eden and Wilf, and they were a very nice family we met. They were lovely, weren't they? So a big shout-out to them. And, yeah, that was Zeke getting annoyed about the lack of swearing. Kids like a lot of heavy swearing. I mean, they're inured to that sort of thing now, so you really need to lay it on thick to shock a child.
But the thing is...
Shock a child, shock a child.
The thing is that they like a certain type of swearing, don't they? I mean, a child's favourite swearing is something poo-based. Anything with the word poo in it. Poo head, poo pants, poo face, that
right.
kind of thing.
Paint.
So if the Wu-Tang... And the Wu-Tang would be allowed to say that stuff if they incorporated some poo head stuff.
They don't like that kind of thing, the Wu-Tang.
Do they not?
It's too lavatorial. Okay, number four. What is this sound?
Whoa, you got some really good mystery sounds.
Thanks, dude. What is it? Play it again.
Is that a vuvuzela sleeping?
Snoring.
Yeah.
A vuvuzela in deep sleep.
Or is it the sound of a big fat gentleman lying in a bath of mud, having a doze, but...
Someone stuck a kazoo up his...
Yes, exactly.
...areas.
Right.
No.
What?
I mean, it's tricky, this one. You could get it.
Something about a water bottle, maybe?
No, we're going to put you out of your misery. That is Ed from the Friendly Fires making an owl noise through his hands.
How was I supposed to get that?
Because you love the Friendly Fires and you're mates with Ed.
Yeah, I didn't know he...
Ed loves the show. We ran into Ed. He's a big fan of the show.
I don't know.
He says the podcasts have helped him through some tough times.
Oh, thanks, Ed.
And he made that amazing bird noise, didn't he, Lucy?
I didn't know Ed could do the bird noises.
You have got one out of four. Here is your last chance to claw back some integrity.
All right.
What is this sound?
Oh. 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 Wow.
Whew. Is that Piers Bronholm having a wee-wee?
An incredibly powerful taffin wee.
I know exactly what that is.
Like a high-pressure hose.
That's Dr. Sexy in a big sexy shower.
Yeah.
That's in one of those showers in a bag.
Oh. Oh.
That's Dr. Sexy and Taffin.
You know what? That's what it'll sound like when I take my big... Because one of the nice things about being at a festival is going home and having an amazing shower.
Yeah.
That first shower that cleans you right off.
Absolutely.
It's lovely. But that was actually the sound of me washing the very heavy, claggy mud off my boots, which you're not supposed to do because it's a waste of water. But I done it anyway.
Because you're too big for your boots. That's your thing. Thanks,
well,
man.
Well
that was
done.
A fun game.
The Glastonbury Festival. Oh, I'm so excited. I see tents of green and red and orange and blue. I'm going to pee on them all before the festival's through. And I stink to myself. Oh, Boggins, what a wonderful smell. It's almost like one giant toilet. I go inside a tent and eat somebody's food. Leave my hair in their sleeping bag, and I'm sick in it too, and I stink to myself.
What a wonderful smell. I love this place. Just look at it. The giant piles of rubbish are climbing to the sky. There's a whiff of human feces on that man who just walked by. I see dogs on strings saying, how do? They're really saying, I just done a poo. I find a little birdie's nest, so I smash and eat the eggs. And then I lick a toddler's face and bite him on the legs. Not badly. And I stink to myself. What a wonderful smell. I think something might have died in your tent. Can I have it? And I stink to myself. What a wonderful smell. I think I've finally found my home. I've got a problem with my bum. I love you.
BBC Six Music Podcasts.
If you liked Adam and Joe, why not try Jarvis Cocker's Six Music Show, Sundays from 4.
Six Music.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much, everybody. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much indeed, everyone, for coming. It was really fun. I had a great time. I hope you did too.
Don't forget, there's a puppet show at 3 o'clock, and also they're lovely cakes baked by a woman called Daisy. Bye-bye.
And I'm going to play Smash the Rat now. The only problem is someone's taken the rat. So could you pop it back, please, in the shoe? Because otherwise no one can play Smash the Rat, and that would be great if you could do that. Thanks a lot. And thanks.